The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Hope you had a great weekend. I was in Irvine, water polo dad, for a good portion of it. I found a place, there's this cool little racetrack sports bar where I was able to get into a corner and watch some of ASU and U of A during the day, and then the Coyotes winning that night and on Saturday night, and wrote down a few thoughts on Sean Miller and how he should no longer be the coach at U of A. We'll talk about Sean Miller a little bit later in the show. Doug Howler is going to be with us today, The Athletic, AZ. It's good to have Doug on the show today to talk about ASU, U of A. Is ASU in for sure? Is ASU, they should be, in the tournament. They play this Thursday in Vegas. It looks like Eric and I are going to make a run up there and probably do the double on Thursday night. It looks very promising to do a double. You have ASU at 6, and you have GCU at 8:30. The Orleans from T-Mobile, that's doable. Why not go up there and screw it? I mean, work and have, you know, get after it. So we're gonna look forward to Vegas. It's NFL free agency week. We don't get too high or get too low. Free agency gets fans excited, and rightly so. Free agency is where you go to address mistakes that you've made in the draft. So for every team that goes out and signs a player, that means, you know what, we didn't draft well enough. And sometimes things happen. Players get injured. Players don't pan out. If the Cardinals go sign a whole bunch of players to say, look at how active we are in free agency, my response simply would be, it means you screwed up in the draft. Look, I can't, as much as I've been a fan of Steve Kimes, I have to be now with the sledgehammer a little bit more than the fly swatter. You can't screw up the number one pick overall. And you certainly have to get this thing turned around in a direction. 4 years of not making the postseason just to get fans excited would be unacceptable if they don't do it this year. So this is the start of a big week. Kyler Murray throws on Wednesday this week. His pro day is this week. What does that mean exactly? I mean, by now, I think the Cardinals have an idea of what they want to do. But I certainly hope that they're not all in agreement. I certainly hope that there is disagreement, debate, pounding the table, saying this is the way that we should go. You can't have a bunch of people that sit around. If we have a meeting, we're going to have a meeting after the show today. If the meeting is everything is great, then that's not good. That's not healthy. You should always strive to get better. That doesn't mean that things are terrible. It just means, what do we have to do that we want to go pursue? What should we get better at? I think you should always be striving at getting better. If you're just content to walk in and do your thing in whatever line you're in. If you're in the NFL, it's like, well, we have the number one overall pick. You should be disgusted that you have the number one overall pick. And you should try that much harder to not screw it up. Damned be what fan reaction and what's going to be put out online. Like, I saw something just dumb last night. I was driving back from LA and pulled over and putting gas in and just flipped over to Twitter. And someone on the Suns' Twitter account made it sound like that they are now back and rolling, and just please disappear. You don't know what damage your credibility is. You beat the Warriors in mid-March when they don't care because they can't see the playoffs quite yet, and you're not going to the playoffs again for another year. So just put it away. We're back. Yeah, right. You haven't even gotten in the room yet. Get back to me when you truly are in a playoff game. I hate this instant arrogance. It's like U of A fans that think everything is great with Sean Miller. Are you kidding me? I mean, are you hearing yourself? Well, we have this great recruiting class coming in, led by Nico Mannion. Yeah, I don't know. When you get on the stand, things get a little different, a little dicey. You can't just sit there and pretend like you're Napoleon and looking down at everybody and saying, I'm the smartest guy in the room. That doesn't work. And Sean's done that here recently. Like, I don't know if I spot Sean Miller, the H, the U, the M, the L, and the E, if he could spell humble. It's just crazy. And playing to the masses down in Tucson after the game, come on. That's what that was. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And you must do it through life insurance. You must. Okay? It doesn't matter if it's from me, from Sagicor, whomever. If you aren't protected, if you don't have things laid out, if you weren't to come home tonight or tomorrow, and you're just thinking, well, that's the way it goes, or that's never going to happen to me. I don't know. Last time I checked, none of us get out of here alive. So figure it out. Get yourself protected, all right? And they have annuities too. I sat with a guy early this morning, about an annuity situation. He's just checking out and looking at. You can log on, do all this from the comfort of your own home without anybody there talking to you about it. Make your decisions. It's Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Doug Haller coming up at 10:35. I thought the most interesting story of the weekend to me is the one that goes the least reported, and that is the Diamondbacks signing Adam Jones. If you're like Brad, you're leading with Diamondbacks in the middle of March. Adam Jones coming to the Diamondbacks, to me, that is the new A.J. Pollock. We're halfway through spring training. It's probably about time to get Pedro on and to talk about this. Adam Jones, that's an interesting signing. I had Fred text me last night. I'm somewhere around Blythe, which nobody wants to be around Blythe. Sorry for those of you that grew up in Blythe. Why? Same with Quartzsite. You always want to get right through those places. You power through. And this Fred texted me and said, can you believe the Diamondbacks signed Adam Jones? It's a one-year deal. $3 million. 13th year in the league. Ketel Marte is going to be the super utility player. The Diamondbacks are not going to be as bad. These are famous last words. Iron Man, we're rolling on this, right? Jared, I mean, we've got this. This is famous last words. They're not going to be that bad. Just time code it, mark it, 10:14 on a Monday in March, March 11th. Brad guarantees the Diamondbacks aren't going to be that bad. Well, what quantifies being that bad? Now, if they decide to trade Zach Greinke and trade Robbie Ray, which I'm in favor of trading Greinke. I'm not in favor of trading Robbie Ray unless he's just said behind the scenes to his agent, we're not going to stay here. We're not going to be that bad. The Adam Jones move, it's not a horrible move. I think it's actually pretty smart. The Suns winning last night, I talked briefly about it. They'd lost 18 straight games to the Warriors. All the stuff going on around the Suns. And in the last week and a half, they've started to win some games. So for those of you that are fans of the Suns and think that everything is great and that it has all turned the corner, and if you're an employee of the team, you're going to be thrilled to death that they've won and you're going to think that I'm just Mr. Negative. And I'm not. Look, it's mid-March and you're Golden State. What exactly are you playing for? You're not playing for much of anything. Yeah, the Warriors jumped out to a huge lead and the Suns came back and they'd won the game. Is this going to lead to anything other than a less shot at getting Zion Williamson? And I know you're going to say, Brad, they've got enough high draft picks. Well, they're going to have another one this year. And I'd rather get Zion in here. And if you're going to be really bad and try to be Golden State where you're going to be good year after year after year, just go for it. You know, be the worst that you can be. So, yeah, they won last night. Devin Booker at 37, and they beat Golden State by 4. And when the season's over, remember that Suns game in March where they beat the Warriors? That was the turnaround. No, I tend to disagree with you. What's really interesting in the NBA, and this is me being out in L.A. for the last 48 hours, and I talked to some friends out there and just consumed what was happening. The Lakers are so bad now. Like, the Lakers are historically worse in the last year and a half on the floor with LeBron being there this last season. And they really should. I heard Jeff Van Gundy yesterday suggesting this, the Lakers should consider trading LeBron James in this offseason. There's no way that Luke Walton is on thick ice in Los Angeles right now. In fact, if Sean Miller were to get bounced, I would be the one that would say U of A could bring Luke Walton in and it would be a seamless transition. He's already coached in the NBA. I think coaching in college in some ways is more difficult than the NBA. Not the Laker job. I mean, Luke Walton came in as an inexperienced head coach and immediately has LeBron James thrown into his lap and that whole mess. The other night, Rajon Rondo sat with fans as the game was winding down. It's a complete bleep show out there. Complete. And so they're looking at having to trade away assets while the Suns over here have these young players that they're bringing along. Their owner is crazy, and that's just the way it's been. Robert's not selling the team, and you can be the guy that says, I'm not paying attention until Robert sells the team. I would say to you that if the Suns next season get off to an interesting start, there should be buzz in the community next year, because there certainly isn't this year, except for the very few that get excited about meaningless wins in March. If you're in LA, what do you really have to hang your hat on? LA is a different deal. LA, if you're not good immediately, they just go pay attention to something else. Here in Phoenix, if you're constantly lousy, you're not going to have anybody come and pay attention to you. But when the Suns, if the Suns get it turned around in the year that they do, and even if they're an eighth seed, like if they were the Coyotes right now, right on the doorstep, guarantee you this city is buzzing about the Suns and the ability to get back into the playoffs. They're not. They're heading nowhere this year. So again, it's just employees getting excited on social media, and that's it. If you're the Lakers, you have to consider trading everybody and firing your coach. That's not a good situation to be in. But the Lakers are in a position where they can pursue Kevin Durant this summer. They can pursue Kawhi Leonard this summer. They can pursue Kyrie Irving this summer. They may look at Kemba Walker this summer. I can't say that about the Suns because Robert has shown the total inability to attract anybody on the free agent side of things. He can draft all day long because the incompetence by the franchise speaks volumes. That's why they get players here. NFL free agency is starting. We'll get into that on the other side. And then Doug Howler and I are going to do a deep dive. May even go a little bit longer with Doug because there's a lot to get to. When I can work Gardner Webb into a discussion about March Madness, you know it's a good day. You know it's March. And we'll do that after this timeout, though, the NFL free agency news. And when you act so bad that you get rewarded, which is what happened to one guy in the NFL. That's next. So this week is a big week in the National Football League, not only because it's free agency that gets started. The league calendar flips over. It's out this morning. The Cardinals are going to release Jermaine Gresham. That's not a surprise. 2021 is starting to become the year in sports. It's really interesting. In 2021, the NFL's contract will expire, TV contract, with CBS, NBC, and ESPN. So the bidding war is going to open up. 2021 is also the year that is now being projected and being talked about in agent circles as a lockout year in the NFL. Why is that? Because there's going to be so much money floating around. And so enjoy your NFL while you can. We've had labor peace for a while, but labor peace is going to become labor unrest. And some of it, I believe, is going to involve what happened in Pittsburgh. For those that aren't aware, Antonio Brown was traded over the weekend from the Steelers to the Raiders. If we're just talking about football skill, Antonio Brown would have to be, in my humble opinion, one of the best receivers in the league. Top two, top three. He was traded. He was traded from the Steelers to the Raiders for the 66th pick in the draft and the 142nd pick in the draft. And that's it. Antonio Brown was upset because he did not win the team MVP. Instead, Juju Smith-Schuster did. Antonio Brown was upset because he and Ben Roethlisberger's relationship deteriorated. There are certain positions in football where diva takes over. Wide receiver is one of those. Cornerback and safety is another. I'm not quite sure why that is. I don't know too many diva offensive linemen. I don't know too many diva quarterbacks. Like, Eric, if you were thinking about diva in the league, why is it the receivers and corners and safe? What is the deal with being a diva? Do you have anything on this one?
Nope. It's just the way it's been. Dating back to Randy Moss and some of the others in the past,
there were certain guys.
They are.
Aeneas Williams was not a diva.
The
different era.
Opposite of a diva.
Yeah. I don't think Larry Fitzgerald's a diva.
No.
I think early in his career, he might have been. But I think he had a guy in Anquan Boldin that said, it's not happening.
But like Deion Sanders, I mean, it just goes, it goes back a ways.
So
receivers always celebrate. I mean, you could go all the way back to like the Fun Bunch with the Washington
Gary Clark.
Redskins.
Sure.
I mean, like they, you know.
Billy White Shoes Johnson celebrated.
Correct.
Billy White.
So it's really kind of on the field that brash arrogance has been going on for decades.
But Larry Fitzgerald doesn't celebrate.
Nope. I mean, that's he spiked the ball last year. That was like a huge deal. Remember, like, oh my gosh,
look at
Larry
Fitz.
Spiked it. Yeah. He didn't just hand it to the ref or toss to the ref. Like
Anquan Boldin, not a diva.
Nope. Just a baller.
Just a baller. Right. Antonio Brown was a 4-year, $68 million extension that he signed 2 years ago. The way that this was set up in the league, and this is why this deal with the Raiders is important. I've got the numbers here because I did a little bit of work on this. So with the trade to the Raiders, Antonio Brown went from $0 fully guaranteed money because he'd already burned through the fully guaranteed amount. Again, in the NFL, the signing bonus is the number that matters. That is the only number to look at. When people say $68 million, how much of that was signing bonus? Okay? So he went from zero guaranteed, throwing a hissy fit, acting just like a little brat, and he gets this deal sent from the Steelers to the Raiders. The Raiders give him a deal that has $30.1 million fully guaranteed. He went from $38.9 million over the next 3 years. Again, that's the part of the contract that's written in. He could play those next 3 years, and he would get that $38.9 million. Or the Steelers could say, yeah, you're out of here, you're cut, see you later. Instead, he gets the $30 million fully guaranteed, and he gets a new deal for $50.1 million. So the average 4-year extension went up to $19.8 million. By simply throwing a fit, by simply being Antonio Brown, by being AB. And so you don't think that there's going to be other players that take a look at this and say, huh, so if I just say that this is how I'm going to be. And we talk about the inmates running the asylum in pro sports. It's LeBron James saying, Anthony Davis, I want him on my team, or I'm going to put him on my HBO special, and that's not going to be tampering, which of course it is, but who's looking? It's Bryce Harper saying, of course I'm going to pursue Mike Trout, and saying this a week ago to gathered masses, which of course is tampering, and old school baseball guys like Tony La Russa become furious because that shouldn't happen publicly. No, everywhere you go, it's now about the players. When Devin Booker says something like, wow, I never knew the players had so much control. Yeah, right. Sure you didn't. So the Antonio Brown thing and these players that think, here's the key point here. The players that think they're a superstar, not are, but think. Well, I'm going to go out, and this is the only way I'm going to get out of here. My only leverage is just to go out and walk up to Eric Sorensen with a microphone or Brad Sussmat or Kent Summers or whomever it is. And I'm going to say stuff to get me out of here. So I think Eric Bledsoe was probably the last guy in town. Eric, am I right? Bledsoe used the media to get his displeasure out there, if I remember correctly. Remember Charles all the way back in the day had the famous interview with Bob Costas where he said, they're treating me like a piece of meat here in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you're not going to hear that out of the Coyotes locker room. I don't recall another Suns player here recently.
Well, Patrick Peterson did last year.
Patrick Peterson said, I wanted out of here, and then he turned around and recanted, right?
But what he said is what he said. So.
But he wasn't Antonio Brown. Like, you know, he's actually apologized, from my view, about that.
He did
that
at the Phoenix Open.
Were there Diamondbacks that used us to get their point across to get out here in recent years? I don't think any that come to mind, and I may be missing, somebody will send me a note saying you forgot about this guy or that guy. The Antonio Brown story, though, is going to transcend all sports. What LeBron James has done this year in Los Angeles has worked right through the mainstream to every last player. What has happened in college football, guys, since the transfer portal was put into place? I've been disrespected. I'm just going to get out of here. I'm just going to transfer out and take my talents elsewhere. Antonio Brown got absolutely everything he wanted. There's not going to be people that line up and say, I don't like Antonio Brown. Yeah, there's Steeler fans who want to burn jerseys. Give those jerseys to kids who don't have a jersey. I mean, come on. We're past the, I'm so mad, I'm going to burn my jersey. You get past that. But how he went about it, it's another turnoff to me. And when the league has their labor issues in 2 years, this is going to be a contract that's going to be brought up. Because owners are going to try to find a way to corral players in. Owners always want to have them under their thumb. That's just who they are. Doug Haller is next on All Things College Basketball. I'm Brad Sussmat.
There's no place that's more magical than McHale Center. There's no fans in the world that are more loyal. And it has been an amazing honor to coach in McHale Center for the last 10 years. Thank you for everything.
Okay, that was Sean Miller after U of A lost to ASU, and that was Saturday afternoon. It has been an amazing honor, is what he said there. Very ominous, I thought. Doug Haller joins us now with The Athletic. At Doug Haller, H-A-L-L-E-R, all one, at Doug Haller, covering Arizona State football, basketball, U of A basketball. You were there. What did you make out of Sean Miller's comments? Was it a goodbye?
Hi, Brad. I was there. It created a little bit of a stir. People kind of wondered what his intentions were. It certainly sounded like he was thanking them and saying goodbye, but I don't think it really makes sense with everything else that has happened, given the fact that the university has repeatedly supported him. The recruiting class, which is number one in the country, still remains intact. And, you know, I've kind of stayed in touch with Nico Mannion's dad, not a lot, but I've checked in as new wrinkles have surfaced in all this, and he seems just as committed as he's ever been. Sean was asked about that, his little speech in the post-game news conference, and he chose not to comment on it, which was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Hickey was in the room, which was also kind of interesting. But, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, if they would have made a move, why wait till now? I mean, if they do make a move and he's fired, he won't resign, because if he resigns, there's a lot of financial implications there. And I don't think Sean will or anyone would give up or forfeit the money that they're owed on their contract. But if they do fire him, then they're doing a real disservice to that recruiting class, because they've really kind of pulled them along throughout all this, saying that we're clear, everything is good, we know which direction this is heading. Don't believe everything you read. We're going to be fine. And if for them to go ahead and fire him, I just don't think that would be fair to those kids. But I would be surprised. I mean, obviously, when Sean gets in the courtroom, it sounds like he'll be subpoenaed and he'll have a chance, or he'll have to finally answer some questions. Things could always change. But I would be surprised if they fire him after all of this.
Talking with Doug Haller at The Athletic. So when you – and I'm with you on this. He's going to be subpoenaed. He is going to be up on the stand. He's going to have to testify. I think that we're going to be finally able to parse words. Legally, he can't say anything right now. I think it's just, I've had this feeling from Sean Miller the last few years that all of us in the room are dumb and he's the smartest guy around. I'm not questioning his coaching capabilities, because I think he's a good X and O guy, but man, when you get eliminated in the first round last year, and 2 years ago you get eliminated in the first round, and last year you get blown out in the first round with the number one overall pick in the draft, just on the court, it feels like, and they don't have anybody in the first or second team this year, it just feels like, why not push reset if you're Dave Hickey? Not just for the sake of doing it, it's just, this thing's run its course, Doug, it feels like to me.
No, I think there's a good argument for that. It's been hanging over their head for a while, and I would think Sean Miller's probably tired of it too. I would bet that if he could hit reset and go somewhere else and start all over, I think he would do that. But, you know, with this hanging over his head, he's not really employable right now by other – or hireable by other universities, because they just don't know where this is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the university kind of painted itself in a corner a little bit, Brad, at the outset of this, by saying we stand behind him 100%. It wasn't just the athletic department, it was the entire university. And to their credit, they've stuck with him. That's why it just seems to me strange, like, okay, well, you've known most of this for a long time. So why would you make a decision now? They do have something to protect. I mean, University of Arizona basketball is a money maker there. It's the pride of not only Tucson, but you know, you could say it's the pride of the entire state. So hitting reset would, you know, that recruiting class would obviously go away.
Mm-hmm.
And the program has a chance to bottom out. I mean, that would take that would be a university decision that would, you know, it might take some time to get over. Now, the only thing I could think of that might change. Do they know that maybe Luke Walton's at his final season with the Lakers, and they had discussions with Luke or his people and saying, like, you know what, there's some interest there, we can make this happen. Then I could see, now that hasn't come out yet, and I'm just speculating here, but that would make sense to me, because they're, you know, you lose Sean, but you also generate instant excitement with Luke Walton coming home. That I would understand, but there has to be something that we don't know yet. And obviously, that's kind of how it's been throughout all of this. For them to make a decision to fire him.
And what people have to understand when they hear Doug Haller speak and speculate on something like Luke Walton, Doug's an IU grad. Here's somebody that covered a big time program, been around a big time program. And sometimes stuff does drag through the mud, but there's something in place 6, 8, 10 weeks from now that we don't know about. So I think what you say there is very smart. Doug Haller with us at Doug Haller on Twitter. It's not only Luke Walton, Doug, it's the whole U of A pipeline. When they are in the tournament and things are rolling, you know this, you go to the Wednesday shoot around before first round Thursday game, and it's like a who's who of U of A people coming out of the woodwork, former players. So behind the scenes, to not think that Steve Kerr isn't aware of what's going on down here, and down there rather, is ludicrous. Of course he is. Same with Richard Jefferson. Same with a lot of these guys that have contacts and connections. And eventually, I believe, much like you speculated there with Luke, that they're going to say enough is enough. Let's get this thing turned around. That's how it works when you can call on Andre Iguodala or Gilbert Arenas.
Yeah, well, and you've already seen Jason Terry when all of this broke a year ago last February with the ESPN report that is now proven to have some problems with it, with the report. Now, whether or not he's on wiretap, we don't know for sure, but the timeline was certainly kind of suspicious. But yeah, Jason Terry went to Twitter and kind of said, it's time to get a U of A guy in here.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it doesn't take long for this stuff to change. You know, it already started. It's already started. Now, I've covered a handful of U of A games, and for the first time, Brad, that I can remember, you know, you can look up in the upper sections of the arena and see some empty seats. I was there for the Oregon game, and you know, it was Oregon was leading and somewhat controlled, but very rarely do you see, with 4 minutes to go in the game, at that last media timeout, U of A fans as dedicated as they've always been, heading for the parking lot to head home to beat the traffic. And those are things that you start to see a little bit. So I think there's a portion of the fan base, and certainly with the alumni, that, you know, is just wanting to see this. You know, I think they support Sean for the most part, but at the same time, I think they're tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
Who wouldn't be? And it just seems like there's just been, just when you think it's, you know, you're one part of it's been closed, there's another chapter coming, and no one, it just opens up a whole another set of questions that don't have answers. I think Sean would have been better off in his press conference, instead of saying no comment, no comment, no comment, just basic PR, just by saying, hey, look, I know everybody has questions. I would love to answer them. And one day, hopefully, I can give my side of the story. But right now, I can't, because this is ongoing. Just, if you can, just stay patient. Now, the questions would have kept going, but I think that would have helped him.
Don't you think this week, and you're going to be in Vegas for the tournament, that he's going to get nailed by national media that are there? Not that the Pac-12 is great shakes this year, but he's going to face a room of people that he has not faced before, that have different ideas of asking questions rather than making sure that Sean gives them access by not asking him too tough of stuff. You know what I mean? I think this week's going to be really interesting to see how he handles it.
Well, that's interesting that you, when you first started saying that, my first thought is like, I'm not sure very much national media will be there.
They'll be at the WAC tournament. They'll be at the West Coast Conference tournament. That could be.
They'll come over for that first game. Yeah, and I've been there in certain situations like that, like at Pac-12 Media Day, where there were a lot of national media members. And you know, it doesn't really change. I mean, it's just like the local media kind of knows how it's going to play out, so they kind of wait for the national media to ask all the questions that they were sent there to ask.
Yeah.
And no one gets anywhere. It would have been really interesting had U of A, or if U of A can run the table in Vegas and gotten to the NCAA tournament, because there would be national media there. And that would have been interesting to see how hard they pushed and see, you know, if Sean would have cracked even a little like he did a couple weeks ago with the local TV reporter.
Doug Haller with us with The Athletic. Switch over to ASU. All-conference team announced today. No Remy Martin. What did you make out of ASU and their representation on the all-conference teams?
Happy for Zion Cheatham. I think he deserves it. I think he's a great story, being a local kid. And he just added so much to them this year, Brad. I'm sure you saw it and recognized it as well, just defensively, with rebounding, leadership, even playmaking at times. I think that was a good call, putting him on first team. But I think if you watched closely Arizona State over the conference season, there's no doubt that Remy Martin was a first-team all-conference player. I think I would say he's probably the best point guard in the conference. I know there's a lot of support for McKinley Wright, and I love McKinley Wright at Colorado. But, you know, he played with an injured shoulder for most of the year, and he wasn't the same player as good as he was. And I just thought that if Remy doesn't change his game like he did earlier in the year, and when Bobby Hurley brought him off the bench for two games, maybe because he was forcing too much offense, looking for a shot a little too much, if Remy doesn't change his game, then ASU's not in the position that they're in. I thought that he really found a balance between when to find a shot and when to get other people involved, because Remy could lead ASU in scoring easily. There's no doubt about that. But Remy, for ASU to be the best ASU it can be, Remy couldn't be that guy. And does he force shots sometimes? Yes.
Yes. Yes.
does he yes. make you kind of cringe a little bit?
Yes.
Without question. But I really felt like out of everyone on the ASU team, and maybe as much as anyone in the conference, that he has shown more growth than just about anybody. And like I said, I felt like that was just a major omission, and maybe just kind of made me wonder, like, were the coaches really paying attention to this ASU team? Because I felt like he was a no-brainer.
They're in, right? No matter what happens in Vegas, they're in, right?
I think so. I think if they lose the first game, which is certainly possible with this team, I think the worst they could do at this point would be the first four. Now, a lot of that depends on what happens around the country, of course,
sure,
with other bubble teams, with other conference tournaments. An ASU fan asked me the other day, who should we root for to help ASU's cause? And the easy answer to that is you don't want to see many upsets in conference tournaments, because that will shrink the bubble. But I just think when it comes down to it, the committee's got to put all the bubble teams aside in Arizona State's wins against Kansas, Utah State, Mississippi State, Washington. Their quad one and quad two wins are really impressive, and I think that's just going to put them over the top. I think it's going to be really hard to focus more on ASU's losses when they have those wins.
Bobby Hurley and offseason and other jobs coming open, I have felt that Bobby Hurley is going to come to Arizona State. He's going to do a really good job here, and eventually he's going to get pursued by one of the longstanding power programs. For the first time, and I hear that his family likes it here, his kids and all that, first time I feel like that's not going to happen in this offseason. Am I wrong in that, or do you think that there's going to be people that see that Bobby Hurley came to Arizona State and took a program that is one of the hardest jobs in the country to get people interested in? They have an all-time attendance mark, and he's built something here, and it's time to go pursue him. What's your view on this one?
Well, it already happened to some extent last year. A power fight team checked and to see if he would have interest in leaving. And nothing materialized. I don't know how serious the Power Five conference team was, but you know, he gained interest last year, and without question going forward, he's going to that's going to continue to happen. One, his name, you know, he gives any program instant credibility.
Yep.
With just his place in college basketball. And you know, there's no better example than the day he was hired at ASU, even though it took him a couple years to get it going. But really, if I were an athletic director, the thing that I would really pay attention to is what you mentioned, Brad, the increase in attendance.
Yep.
because that means dollars. That means dollar signs. And I just feel like with what he's done, I mean, ASU averaged 11,000 fans for a home game. And
never
you've been out there before.
Yeah, never happened.
I never thought they would take down the wall, Brad.
Yeah.
I never thought there would be a reason where they'd have to take down that wall. You know, there was just so many games, you know, before he got here where, I mean, even when James Harden was here, I mean, they did, I think they finished fourth in the Pac-12 in attendance that year. But you would look around, it's like, man, why are people coming out here to watch this team?
Sure.
When you have one of the best players in college basketball. I just think I think people relate to his passion, his energy. Yeah, he can be a crazy man when dealing with the officials. He can definitely be over the top. But, man, just when you have a guy that you know is fighting, I think fans relate to that. And, you know, I never thought that the fan base here would get behind this program as much as they have. So, yeah, there's going to be a team, and they're going to throw a lot of money at him. And, you know, to this point, ASU has stepped up. I mean, they pretty much doubled the salary last year. But there's still certain things they're going to need to do. I mean, that arena is one of the worst in the Pac-12.
Yeah, it's a hole. It's a dump. It's a dump.
Yeah, and I know it's on the table, and I know they wanted to get football in place and everything else, and they have a hockey arena to build.
Yeah.
But if I were Ray Anderson, I would not want that to be the reason that I lost Bobby Hurley.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm advising Bobby, it's you're in a conference where your games are not seen because the network, nobody can see it, A. B, you're at a place where they've done a really good job, but the facility is a whole, and they keep talking about wanting to improve it, but they haven't. You're in a conference that is at its bottom conference. And so if there was ever a time for someone to try to swoop in from a big-time program, and ASU fans won't like this, but this would be the year to get in there while everything is iron hot and say, come to our place and we'll have distribution and we'll have a great facility and you've put in your time at Arizona State.
Yeah, two things with that. One, you mentioned the Pac-12 network. I was talking to a conference assistant coach. It's been a year or so ago, and I asked him, like, what one of the biggest challenges you have? And he said with parents, it's, you know, why would I send my son to school there when I can't watch him on television?
Yep.
That's a real problem for the conference. And secondly, the thing, Bobby does like it here. Every coach says that. You never hear a coach say, like, I don't like it here. But from the time I've been around him, and I've gotten to spend some time with him while during his stay here away from ASU, I think it's legit. I think he really likes it here. I think his family likes it here. His son is a sophomore in high school. None of that, to me, seems like a coach who's looking for the next opportunity. Now, there are, you know, what, a dozen jobs out there that no coach will turn down. And it's just a matter of whether or not they open. You know, it could be some jobs in this conference. Who knows? But I think he feels so strongly about what he's building here. I think it would take a really almost like too good to pass up opportunity at this point for him to leave.
UCLA is sitting there, so. I'm not stirring things up. I'm just being factual. And UCLA is, they can't get it figured out, and Bobby Hurley would do an awful lot there. Good stuff. I'll see you in Vegas. Eric and I are going to drop in up there, so I appreciate the time as always.
Yeah, I love this event. It's a great time, so I'm looking forward to it.
There's Doug Haller with The Athletic. You can check him out at The Athletic AZ. Follow him at Doug Haller. We're back with more after this timeout. Right, so tonight the Coyotes will be skating against Chicago. They had a very good homestand. They're right in the middle of the race. Wednesday, U of A basketball will play in Vegas against USC. Thursday, ASU and GCU both in action in Vegas as well. Thanks for being with us. Enjoy your Monday.